You're watching Hope at Home right here at Hope Channel. And right now we're going to talk about hope. I want to invite our guest today, Pastor Gamaliel. He is a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. Very nice to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Fantastic. Let's talk about hope. Now, you preach every single week, and you bring this incredible concept of hope. Is it a concept? What is hope in the first place, and where do you draw from to bring hope to people that listen to you every week?
You know what? Martin Luther once said that everything we do, everything that is done in the world, everything that we do is done by hope. And I believe that. I believe that everything that we do is because of hope. Hope is like energy for us. It's like our gasoline to move forward. For Christians, hope is a person. It's Jesus, right? But we need to consider that. We need to understand what is hope and the components of hope in order to enjoy it today.
So tell us more. What are these components of hope? And if there is somebody watching here who is feeling particularly hopeless, what can they draw from hope to encourage them?
Well, the two key elements of hope, or the two mental states, we call it in psychology, when we talk about the anatomy of hope, is the expectations and the beliefs. When you have those two aligned to each other, when you don't go to the extremes with those, you create a mindset, and that mindset will impact everything in your life. It's not only about the psychology or the emotional part of hope. Some people think that hope is something that I develop here and it stays here and there, but it's not the case. It's something that impacts our life completely, socially, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, and also biologically. When you have a certain mental state or a mindset, let's say like that, that will impact the way your brain works. Some chemicals are changed, or the way the brain releases those chemicals will change. That's why when we are living in hope, we are going to see that in the way we behave, in the way we deal with stress or anxiety, even with pain. You know, it protects us from certain levels of pain that we could experience if we are not living with hope.
So let's talk about the physiology of the situation here, because a lot of people that don't have a strong hope are not feeling particularly hopeful. Mm-hmm. They struggle to sleep. And you're a psychologist, so mm-hmm. I have all of these questions for you. Mm-hmm. And I hope you can give us some wisdom and insight into this. When people are feeling hopeless, they don't sleep easy.
Yeah.
It seems that serotonin is a very important hormone for sleep, and they don't have much of it. What they have is cortisol at night, which is the worst time to have cortisol. Mm-hmm. And that's a stressful hormone. They don't feel safe. How can somebody who is struggling to sleep, who does not feel safe, how can they reverse it? How can they have less cortisol and more serotonin, which will allow them to have a restful sleep and will allow them to be at peace?
Well, actually, the production of hormones or chemicals in our body, as I mentioned, is determined by how the brain interprets your situation, and that is not something that occurs randomly. We can train our brain to develop certain ideas, and more than that, to form or to establish the levels of those chemicals in your body will be released. In the case of melatonin, or I don't know if that is the right pronunciation in English.
Melatonin. Hold on, before you get to melatonin, let's understand a little bit more of what you just said. You said that the hormones that are produced in our well-being is directly related not to our circumstances, but to the way our brain interprets our circumstances.
That's right.
And so really the circumstances are there to everyone the same, but some of us interpret them in a way that is useful and others interpret them in a way that is destructive.
That's right.
Is that what you try, what you said, and what does it mean for us? How can we interpret it properly?
Well, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Let me give you an example, and maybe we can understand this better. There was a guy named Viktor Frankl. He was a Jewish guy that was taken prisoner with his family in a concentration camp, a German concentration camp. And he, after the whole experience, he said that not the most strong or the strongest physically were those that survived that experience, but those that interpreted the situation in the right way, those that saw the experience not as their life, but as something that was part of their life, something that would pass. The same thing that we are experiencing right now. Some people are seeing this pandemic as something that is their life, and some others are seeing the pandemic as something that is part of my life right now, part of my reality, but it's not what determines how I'm going to live. So when you take certain experiences in your life and you give them a new meaning, you are telling your brain, hey, this is not permanent, this is temporary, so you can continue working the way you were working, or you can adapt for me to have a better experience even when I'm in crisis. A crisis is an experience for which I don't have the tools to work with, but that doesn't mean that will determine how I'm going to live.
I see. So when Frankl writes in Man's Search for Meaning,
yes,
that you need meaning and purpose in your life in order to interpret things in a positive way. How can we do that today, and where does the Word of God come in reinterpreting our surroundings and redetermining our worldview, mm-hmm, and our mindset? Where does the Word of God come in prayer, perhaps?
You know, now that you mentioned that, I'm thinking that those ideas that Frankl expressed or shared were not originally from him. I think the Bible presents those ideas before him. The idea of having a good experience, the idea of being creative, the idea of have a good attitude. And when we go to Genesis chapter 1, we find that. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we find God saying, let us make humankind or humans or the man in our image. And, you know, it's presenting the relational part of God, how God is a plural God, our God is a plural God, how that expresses as well his love, how he is love, and he created us in his image. So the first part to find meaning of life, the first part to find sense of life or purpose of life, is to understand that we were created in the image of God. And if God is relational, we must be relational as well. We need to connect with him first to have that relational, that relationship, and to connect with each other. If you are looking to connect with each other, you need to look for those opportunities to express love and to value the other person the same way you want to be valued. So that's one of them. The second one is in verse 27, the writer of Genesis says, and God created a man in his image, and the word or the verb create is mentioned three times, and I think it's not a coincidence. I think that the writer wanted to tell us that God created us with a purpose of being creative as well. When we are looking to find hope, or when we are looking to find purpose of life as well, we need to connect with God, to have a relationship with God, to have a relationship, an intentional, loving relationship with other people, but also we need to be creative. We need to understand that you can open doors, and you can, because God is allowing you to open those doors, and it's opening ways for you to walk on, and that you can write, you know, your life, the story of your life, that you can experience things that God has ready for you already. And for that, you need to be creative. You need to be creative. Maybe to go back to those things that you used to practice that you are not doing anymore, and that those are things that may be helpful for you and healthy, or to create new things. You know, for introverted persons, people, maybe it's difficult to speak with a stranger on a walk side or on the road. Try it. It's a new thing, right? And to share your life with someone that you don't know. And the third one is the attitude. I think that you need to be relational, be creative, but also be positive. And at the end of that chapter, we find God looking at creation and saying, hey, this is good. This is great. I created something that is great. And I'm wondering, did God know that Adam and Eve were going to mess up everything? Yes, he did, of course. But he's saying that everything is good. Why? Number one, because he knows everything, and he knew the future since the beginning. So he knew as well about recreation, that he had a plan to solve everything. And because God is a positive God, our God is a positive God, and we need to be that way as well, to look around and to see good in people, to see good in situations. And that is only possible if we are living with hope. And as I said at the beginning, hope for us is a person, is Jesus. So when we walk with Jesus, we are going to see his fingerprint in everything around us. We are going to see his blessings in everything around us.
Let's talk about a story in the New Testament. The Bible tells this story,
yeah.
And it's a story of hopelessness, mm-hmm. because the disciples were in this boat and they were absolutely desperate. The storms, the circumstances were very destructive. Mm-hmm. They thought they were about to die. All hope was gone. And then suddenly they remembered that Jesus was on the boat. And when they looked at Jesus, he was asleep in the middle of this storm. Jesus then wakes up and then calms the storm, and everything comes back to normal. And they are utterly astonished by his power to calm a storm. By his word, the storm came back to normal. And obviously, by his word, the whole world was created. Mm-hmm. But now they experience this peace and calm. And Jesus was at peace all along. And the story is told that when they got to the other side of the lake or of the Sea of Galilee where they were, a demon-possessed man came and Jesus healed him and freed that man. And here is the juxtaposition of what we're saying with this story, right? Jesus knows that God wants him to get to the other side. He seems to be experiencing some meaning and purpose, and God has something for him to do, which is to get to the other side and free this person.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus sleeps because he knows that God is taking care of him and they will get to the other side. But the disciples are utterly hopeless. How do you read that story in light of what we've been talking about?
You know, sometimes we think that our hope or the level of hope that we experience depends on how good I see everything around me. And we are limited. Let's look at it like this. If my life is a puzzle, I'm only able to see one of the pieces of that puzzle. So I'm limited to see everything around me. So my hope cannot depend on the things that I can see. God is able to see everything. Is able to see the whole puzzle. He painted the puzzle. You know, he's the author. He's the creator of the puzzle. So when we are looking for hope, we need to understand that is beyond us. That is something that we cannot control, but at the same time, is not limited by our limitations. It's not limited by the fact that we cannot see the whole picture. And when we ask God for hope, he is going to answer to us from his perspective and not from our perspective. In the case of the disciples, they were looking at one of the pieces of the puzzle. We are in the storm. And you know, it's understandable. When we go through pain, when we go through the crisis, we tend to focus on that pain. We tend to focus on that crisis. And it's God who teaches us to see more, to see the fact that he is with us, to see the fact that he is leading us, to see the fact that he is protecting us, even when we are not aware of his presence, even when we are not aware of how hard he is working for us.
I had a friend who used to say, if you believe in God, then you must know that everything will work out in the end.
Yes.
And if it hasn't worked out, it's not the end. So you have this almost irrational hope that God will put it all back together. And we're in the middle of a pandemic, and families are losing loved ones all over the world to this pandemic. And as they're experiencing grief, it seems that death is the end. What else comes after death? And there is a Portuguese saying, which I'm sure is translated to other languages, which is hope is the last to die. Hmm. And it seems to say that if when hope dies, there is no more anything else. Life itself ends because hope is the last to die. Now, believing in Jesus gives us the opportunity to believe that hope is not the end. How does that impact someone's life? How does the resurrection of Jesus, because if he rose from the dead, then all of us who believe in him will also not perish, but have everlasting life. How does that help us navigate the hopelessness that we see in everyday news?
Well, I think that, first of all, when we talk about hope, love, faith, all those terms, we need to attach them to the relationship with Jesus, as you mentioned. And that is the most important thing. I have hope, not because of the circumstances, but because the relationship that I have with God, who is faithful. And when we understand that, we start to enjoy his presence today. We start to enjoy salvation today. We start to enjoy the real and tangible aspect of hope. And that changes everything in my life. When I live in hope, when I live by hope, and when I live with hope, everything changes in my life. The way I deal with people, the way I treat my wife, the way I treat my kids, the way I go through life changes. So the circumstances, even death, will take a new meaning in my life. And I'm sure that the people that are watching today, some of them have experienced that. Maybe they are going through some sickness, or they have lost someone in this whole process. And many of you have said, hey, okay, it's painful, and I have to acknowledge that. It's painful to lose someone. It's very painful. But at the same time, I believe that God is faithful, and his promises are there for me, and he will fulfill them. So that's why we believe in life after life. And we believe that someone that dies go to sleep, and the next face that he's going to see is the face of Jesus, and we're going to enjoy even a better life with him.
That is an incredible promise. If you're watching this and you know a friend who needs to hear these words of encouragement, perhaps you know a family member who has been hopeless in the last few weeks or days or hours, then why don't you share this link with them? You're watching the right channel. This is the Hope Channel, a channel that is dedicated to sharing the hope as it is found in Jesus to the whole world. If you would like to know more about hope itself and about the Bible and about Jesus, visit hopebiblestudy.org. Pastor Gamaliel, let's have some final thoughts about hope and about having this relationship with Jesus. What can somebody do tangibly today, right now, to start developing this relationship with Jesus that brings hope to millions of people globally?
Well, first, we need to understand that this is a journey. So it doesn't matter where you are. Maybe you don't know a lot about the Bible or Christianity or Adventism. I want to invite you to start, to take the first step and to do three things. Number one, pray. Start to talk with God as a friend. You don't need something very elaborated or something special words to speak with him. Just open your heart and speak with him. Number two, read the Bible. He wants to speak to you. And the best way to hear God's voice is through the Bible. And number three, look for people that are looking for the same thing. People that are looking to have a relationship with God. Maybe a congregation, a group, someone that will encourage you, that will guide you in your journey with Jesus.
Pastor Gamaliel, we are so thankful that you accepted our invitation. Thank you for joining us and for sharing those words of hope. You have been watching Hope at Home. This is Hope Channel. Don't go away.